Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and adoration. Thank you, Lord, for a day like this, for how you saw us through today, up to this moment. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your protection in our going out and our coming in. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, because in this service you are in our midst already. Yes, to teach us, to enlighten us, to strengthen us, to bless us. And we know that by the time this service ends, we would have been transformed again inside. We will have light, more light. And indeed, supernatural understanding will be granted us. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Blessed be your holy name. And now we declare, every heart is open in the name of Jesus. We are completely ready to receive from you. Oh, Lord, to receive words, deep words from your throne. You will speak to us by yourself. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But I want to talk to you on the trophies of Christ. The trophies of Christ. You know, many times in comparing Christians, you discover that some seem to be different than others. Some look happy with what they have received, in other words, with Christianity. Some look happy, lively, shiny, beautiful, and so on. While you may see some other group, they look so bored, and sometimes you wonder whether they are being forced. And in reality, if you listen to them and tell them, say the truth, the deep, deep truth inside you, they will tell you, if they are going to be honest, those ones that look bored, they will tell you that they are bored indeed. Why would someone be bored with Christianity? That would be because he probably doesn't know what he has received. The happiest people on earth today should be Christians. Believe me. The happiest, the most vibrant, the most beautiful people on earth today should be Christians. Now, do you notice I said should be Christians? Because sadly and incidentally, you may find, of course, you will find Christians that are not so happy. The only hope they have is that they will make heaven. And even that heaven, you'll be amazed that some of them are not sure. I've had conversation with a few of them through the years who think that heaven for them is not so certain. In fact, a particular group of people one time had a discussion with me while I was a student on campus and said, it's not everybody that will, or rather, I should put it in this way, to put it this way, you cannot know whether you go to heaven or not. It's only Christ that determines, because there are a certain number of people that he has chosen to make heaven, according to the book of Revelation, and you may not be part of them. So I thought in my heart, so why are you serving God then? You see what ignorance can do. Listen to me. Christianity is alive and is the best thing that can happen to any man. First of all, if you will understand that Christianity is not a religion, we have said that again and again. Not, of course, you're not just hearing that from my mouth. Maybe you must have heard many teachers of the gospel say the same thing. Christianity is not a religion. It is not a religion. And some have said it's a way of life. It is not a way of life. In Christianity, there is a way of life. But Christianity is not a way of life. What is Christianity? I have many words to describe Christianity. But at the end of it, it will be one thing. It will head in one direction. Christianity is the will of God in heaven, on earth. Christianity is the very life of God made manifest on earth. I told you I have many words to describe it. Christianity is living the God life, the Christ life. What's the Christ life? The life of dominion, the life of success. As they do in heaven, here on earth. Otherwise, God has failed. Because you see, what he came to do, what Jesus came to do, of course, he came to take away the sins, to forgive us our sins, or to wipe away the sins. But that's just a means to an end. After the sin issue has been dealt with, what else? He did much more than that. He dealt with the sin issue and then put us on a journey. A journey that will end somewhere. Oh, God. Let me digress. That's another talk. You know, I'm bubbling on the inside, but I'm wondering if you can catch what I want to talk to you about. The Lord will help you. I said the title is the trophies of Christ. The trophies of Christ. Now, first of all, what is a trophy? I want to start from that first. Then we'll move right along. I want you to listen. You know, this Bible study, so you have to listen, and listen hard. The word trophy comes from the Greek word. The word trophy comes from the Greek word tropion, meaning a monument. Erected by the ancient Greek to commemorate a victory in battle. The ancient Greek will raise, now, if they had a battle, when they had a battle with the enemy, after they have won. Of course, in those battles, there is always a point where the enemy will turn back. In other words, they are being defeated, and so they will turn and run. Okay, the period they begin to run away, these ones already have the victory. So at that moment, they raise a monument. That's their trophy. They raise it there at that site where that thing happens. That's how they did. Okay, and we understand that even the Romans too did so afterwards, later. Okay, but the Greeks, they raise this monument and say, wow, this is where our enemies were defeated and they ran away. That thing, that monument, is a trophy. Then also they have
a permanent trophy apart from this one, because it, two sets of trophy now. This other trophy is the one that when they get back to their cities or to their country, they'll go there and build something. Sometimes they'll build a house as a trophy to remember that incident. Anytime they look at that house, they remember the victory. Now, that monument that they raised, erected at that site, it will remain there until next time. Are you still here? Now, keep that in your heart. That's how they understood it there. And we'll look at how we understand trophy today too. What a trophy is. So keep that in your heart. There's a reason. And at this beginning, I'm going to give you some definitions. Keep them in your heart. They will help us later on. Okay? So I know exactly what I'm doing. All right. So a trophy. I've told you what the word trophy is. Ancient Greek, how they use it to commemorate a victory in battle. A trophy symbolizes victory. Of course, we know that even today. It symbolizes victory, achievement, and success. It serves as a tangible reminder of hard work, dedication, and triumph in a competition. A trophy is a symbol of success that is used to impress others. Woo! I'm excited already. For example, he bought the lavish house as a trophy. So that house is his trophy to impress others. Why? About his success or wealth. Trophies symbolize excellence and superiority. Trophies motivate and provide a sense of pride and accomplishment for the athlete. Are you still here? I know I rushed, but whatever you could pick, just pick. Because I have quite a number of things to discuss. I want us to look at dictionary definition of trophy. Can we have that on the screen, please? So that everybody can see that. Good. An object, usually in the form of a statuette, cup, or shield, awarded for success in a competition or to mark a special achievement. While I was in school, at certain points in my life, I was the say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, to help you, so I have to come closer now, right? I was in a unit in church called dance and drama. Okay, now some of you may be surprised about the dance part, but you're not about the drama part, right? Because you must have seen some drama in the preaching. Okay, now, for the first time in the history of that church, because later on, you know, I became the HOD, so I led this group of young people, students. And for the first time in the history of that church, we won the dance and drama department, won an award. You know, dance and drama was not taken seriously. It's still not taken seriously in church, but this particular one was taken seriously because they saw the achievement. They couldn't hide it. They saw the increase in the number of members. They saw the spirituality. They saw that their leader, this leader, is hot. You know, the kind of drama we put up was not drama of leave me, I leave you, leave me. No. It was some serious story preaching. You listen to it on Sunday, you watch it, you will shake. You know, the calling, I use the opportunity to project it too. So we got this award, which is still at home today. Now that's many years ago. But do you know that I still have that award, a plaque, hanging on my wall in the city room? many times I felt like, okay, let me remove this thing, but the pride will not. Just leave it there, you know. Because of that achievement. That's a trophy. Every time that guy who won it looks at it, the pride comes back. The confidence comes back. He believes more in himself. Wow, I did this. I can do much more. Do you understand that? Never you forget that. That will help you a great deal as we move on. Okay. All right. So it says an object, usually in the form of a statuette, cup or shield, awarded for success. For success. You don't get the trophy for failure. It's for success in a competition or to mark a special achievement. Next. For example, he won the trophy in a running competition. As an example, because he won in that competition. Okay, let's look at another definition. An object taken as a prize by a hunter or conqueror. Say conqueror. Especially one that is displayed. Hey, okay, I'll come there. I just told you about how I displayed it there. Even if it doesn't fit the wall, just leave it there. Let it stay. Okay. Example, the set of antlers which hung on the wall was his prized trophy. Now, I love this one. Any emblem of success, a status symbol, any emblem of success. Woo! Let's see the example of that. His trophies included his second wife. What a shame on him. His successful children, the third and fourth homes in Palm Beach and Malibu, his three yachts for the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, his jet and his mistresses. That's his own trophy. But it's an emblem of success. Brothers and sisters, I want to show you something. Are you ready for this now? Now, do you understand all this definition for a trophy? A trophy. So, if you had a trophy, in fact, it's so important that some would build shelf stands for their trophies. One time I followed the documentary of a celebrity, old celebrity, not all these ones you have now, old celebrity. And oh boy, this guy got awards. And he built a large shelf, so long, piled up with trophies. You understand now? The awards. That was his pride. That represented his success. These are the emblems of his success. What does the Bible say about Christ's trophies? 2 Corinthians now. Chapter number 2. I will never be a failure. Let's begin from the 14th verse. We will look at the Amplify. I love Amplify. Before I read this, give somebody a high five. Say, I've made it. I'm telling you. Give another person a high five. Say, I've made it. Now turn to the person beside you. Say, you understand shortly. I'll get back to you in a moment. Now watch this. But thanks be to God. When a man of God is starting with thanks be to God, note that some good is coming after. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us. Who in Christ has led us. Always leads. Present tense. Always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. Don't you understand? These are the kind of things you see first in the Bible. You carry chair. You say, wait, am I saying that? Maybe I don't understand. Maybe in the trophy there is something else. You check the spelling of the trophy. T-R-O-P-H. I don't know. It's trophy. It's the same thing. Or does it mean something else? I'm telling you, I think. When I see something like this, I want to... Listen. The Bible says that what is written in the scriptures were written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God chose his words. And that's why when you read something in the Bible, you should not neglect. Don't pretend as though you are not seeing what is there. You see something. The Bible talks about God, talks about Jesus, talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about Satan, talks about us. So when you see something that has to do with you, you have to pause. You understand? To see, what does this exactly mean? Does it mean exactly what it says? Or am I the one missing something up? Am I pushing it to the extreme? What? So that's why we do some extra study. Do you understand? We want to know the whole truth. Because sometimes you may push something to the extreme and that's not exactly what it's saying. But if somebody who is knowledgeable, who has more knowledge, understanding of that particular scripture is sitting there and is listening to you, while others are nodding and excited, he's thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, they've messed up scripture. But before you take something and you run with it, first of all, you sit down, understand it, find it, the whole truth about this thing. Is it talking to me? Who is it talking to? What is it saying? Is it for us today or in the past? Now, the first thing you look at here, the tenses. Hello? Make sure you don't travel, okay? The tenses. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Number one clue, I will always triumph in my life. It means that as a Christian, you will always have the victory. Do you understand? It is a law that is already is in motion. That any Christian that will believe it, no matter what you face in your life, is like I told you, is a script. Is there anybody who has seen a movie here? You've seen any movie in your life? Anybody? Wave your hand if you have. If you've never seen any movie, you will be lying. And we need to cast out the devil of life from you. Because in reality, you must have seen a movie. Now, let me tell you. When you watch some of those movies, some of them can be so captivating that you forget yourself. You think it's real life. And you don't want to stand up from where, you know, wherever you were watching it. You don't want to stand up from there. You have your eyes glued. I mean, that guy is going to... You see, you are trembling. Hey, don't do it. Sometimes you even shout, that thing was acted. That thing was scripted. Now, listen. The one who wrote the movie already knows the end. So, you are watching it and maybe even for the first time in the whole world, this movie is going to be premiering. You understand? And you are there to watch the premiere. For the fact that you're watching, the person that wrote it, if he's there, he's looking at you, he knows the end. That guy will not die, don't worry. So, but you are trembling. Listen. We are in a script. We are fulfilling our part. The writer of the script says that as a Christian, no matter what happens, oh, yeah, Jesus. He says the victory is sure. That's what he's saying. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in victory. Always, no matter what happens, let me a little digressing. The Bible says that for whatsoever that is born of God, that's the mind of the script writer. Do you understand? The one who wrote the script, he says, for whatsoever that is born of God overcometh the world. In this drama, in this movie, it has been written that for actor so and so, no matter what comes, this guy is invisible. Do you understand? To any attacks from the enemy, In other words, they will not see him. Then he says, this guy is invincible. Which means no matter what happens, he cannot be destroyed. Ah, I feel like I'm by myself right now. You know this idea, you read something like this, you are like, hey, where is the devil now? Where? Okay, watch this. That's just a small truth there. Okay, now let's enter. Well, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Now he says, in triumph, as trophies of Christ's victory. The emblem of his success. The symbol of his achievements. Don't you understand? We are the symbol of Christ's achievements. Which means that after Jesus did all that he did, he went through a lot. After he did all that he did, the trophy that he got is me. He said, it's me. Now you have to believe it in your spirit. That's what he's saying. Now the second part is something even big. We are the trophies of Christ's victory. I will never fail in my life. I will never be defeated in my life. I will never be poor in my life. I will never be down in my life. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Listen to this. If that guy, that athlete, gets to his shelf, his trophy stands, and sees a trophy there, broken, what do you think it will feel like? It will feel bad. Oh, he will remember how he got it. Oh, what he went through to get that one award or trophy or whatever. What he went through to get that one. He'll remember the hard work. Now, all of a sudden, it's broken. Or he gets there and discovers that it's bent somehow. That's how many Christians are. We are being displayed on the stand. Us, we Christians. We are on Christ's stands. He got us as trophies and displayed us there. Now, listen to this. If a trophy is so important to you, and of course it will be. I remember how we were watching the Olympics, the last one, and we saw different people, how they got, you always love the part where they are given the medals. That part is always sweet. You understand? You want to watch when they are given the cup, the medals, and all of that. And we saw these people that powered success. Some of them had been for years. They've been winning. And a particular lady stood out to me. From America, black American. Simone Biles. Have you ever heard of her? How she's so good and she seemed to be winning every time. You know, I love all those kind of stories. Do you understand? They gave her again medals and a trophy. And she didn't say, I have a lot, enough already. No, every trophy is special and important because they remind her of something, of her own victory. They serve as emblem, as the emblem of her success. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus looks at you, you remind him of his victory. Can you see why he feels pain? He feels your pain when you're going through pain. Of course, he can't do nothing about it. He says, but he's wicked. No, he's not. You are the one who is wicked. And I'll get back to that. I'll get to that shortly. He feels it when he sees his children crushed. He feels it. Because already he has done something about it. He already achieved the complete victory. He already did the worst. He finished it. And the Bible says, he's seated. And then you know what? It took you to sit within two. Now, but so many Christians are standing. They are still walking about. He says, come and sit down here. He said, no, I want to fetch some things for myself. Hey, glory to God. I'm going to be my best in this world. So that when he's displaying me on the shelf, because I'm there on that shelf, so that when you are being displayed, you can radiate his beauty, radiate his glory. You see, listen, one of the things you must do about yourself is to change your mind about what you think about you. The way you see yourself must change. The way you think about yourself must change. Please. If you're going to see any result on the outside, it must change first from the inside. As they think it. It's a law in the realm of the spirit. So easy. If you see yourself as that guy that is always failing, you know, some people, they have their down moments. Their down moment is when they don't have money. When there's no money in the account, then they define themselves. And they try to do one thing and do the other and do one thing and they don't seem to be working. Maybe like two or three things. Oh God, why am I a failure? Why am I a failure? What? What? Some say they are being realistic. They say, let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's just say the truth. Let's say it as it is. Let's be realistic. I've been failing, okay? I've been failing. What? Many years ago, I wrote an exam. Not school exam. I believe it was an exam that has to do with IT, something. And this was to make us get some money or some grants to get this grant as a student. So, you know how students, anything that involves money, you want to be there. So I was there to write the exam. And after writing the exam, based on what you have written, they are going to score you and say, this is the level of your IQ. And they scored themselves. Understand? And gave a mark. Something below excellent. When I looked at that paper, I said, no, not me. You see? Even I'm sharper than those of you that are seated there. That's the truth. Some people are just, they are just privileged to sit and say they are judging. You, what do you know? That's what I think. There's nothing like that. Well, you didn't do it, so you failed. No, it's you. You don't know up to what I know. So you've not discovered what I... So when I wrote it down, you've not known it. So... Say hallelujah. Listen, you know, let me tell you how I developed these things. The word of God. The word of God trained me in these things. I can't think of myself as a failure. I can't. Don't you understand? Even if people say it's obvious, it's so obvious that all of you in this area, you are poor. I'll be thinking in my heart, you are making a mistake. There's a guy here that is rich. You are making a mistake. There's a guy here. That's the way I think. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. I can't say out of my mouth that I'm poor. I can't say it. Even if I'm sleepwalking.
I'll never be poor in my life.
I'm telling you, I can't say it. I can't say poor. I'm being honest. I do not think that there is something or someone more special than me. I think I'm the best of me. That's the way I reason. And that's the way I deal with everything that is mine. I always think in my heart that whatever God gives to me is still the best. You know how I got there? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Over the years, I've been laying it on my heart. Putting it inside. The Word of God. Over the years, listen, I didn't start last 2 years off. I've been on these things since. Changing my mindset. changing my thinking. Oh my goodness. There was a time in my life that I so meditated on, I'm a jointer with Christ. I so meditated. You understand that if you buy any new thing, for instance, maybe you buy a new shirt and say, oh, this is so nice. I'm looking at it like my name is on it. Yes, sir. My name is on every good thing. Why? I'm a joint heir with Christ. Do you understand? Everything he owns, I own it with him. One day, many years ago, I believe that was after secondary school. Maybe we're going for WAEC results or something. I'm trying to remember. Maybe I was going to look for my JAMB result. You know how they used to do it those days. But I know that I had to follow my dad. And we were on this street, this Victoria Highland street. This with skyscrapers, you know. And I was following my dad. We were walking together. As I was looking at them skyscrapers, I was lingering behind. He couldn't understand. He was already going in front. I said, Lord, my name is on every one of them. That was when the truth started coming home. My name is on every one of them. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir. Joint heir. Listen. It's only rapture that can stop me. Tell your neighbors, I'm coming. Tell someone, say, I'm coming. How can a trophy of Christ's victory? How can you look like the whole world has turned against you? Why? They've not sent me pocket money. If you are going to drink the garri you have, drink it with pride. And say, glory to God, I have a future. I have a future. Pour the water. Let it make sound. I have a future. I'm telling you, with pride. And handle the thing. And say, in the name of Jesus. Hey. As you're taking it, you're making confession. I'm the wealthiest being. I'm the wealthiest being. You understand? You punctuate every spoon with a word. I will never be poor in my life. The things that I teach you now, many of them I've known them for years. Inside that plank room that I lead as a student, I will call people and I will be preaching to them, showing them the word of God, especially this one. He will sit down. I will also be seated. I will sit on the chair. He will sit on my bed. I'll be showing him I'm a joint heir with Christ. Where am I living? At the time. I'll be showing him. See, we are so wealthy, brother. We are rich in Christ. I'm teaching him. He too is listening. Do you understand? He says, yes, sir. So I've been on this thing long enough now. That is why Zedika Libra Hakstagido Shetedista. Ah, so many things in my spirit. Let me just leave it. You may not be able to pick that. Let me show you something from, I don't want to go to the other side. Maybe I may come back there. But let me show you something else. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 10. See the trophies. Trophies. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. You understand that, don't you? His handiwork. All right? Like your phone is the handiwork of Samsung. If you do use Samsung, the handiwork of which other one? Okay, like the handiwork of that. And you know them. The same way, you are the handiwork of God. God has his label on you. He has his name on you. He finished producing you and put his name. Somebody say, maybe when God was producing me, he did not calm down. He didn't package me well. Or what is all this? Some things were not included. He rushed. Hey, listen! Not God. Let me tell you. When they make your phone, each one of those phones, now maybe a company now, they're producing this phone, and they say something, A12, for instance, A12 series. That's the set of these gadgets. Okay? And they are going to produce like, maybe 100,000 of them. 100,000 pieces. After they've worked on them, do you think in your mind that straight away they'll say, alright, take them to the market, go and begin to sell? Huh? They don't do that. They will flop. They could flop. And it will get them in trouble. And it will affect the name of their company. So what would they do? I want to tell you. Each one of that 100,000 pieces will be tested one by one. One by one, each one of them. Have you ever bought a phone and you found that the battery was 100% already? Have you ever found that? You charge it! Why? They've used part of the battery. To do what? To test it. They wouldn't release anyone until it is tested first. Eh? That's a human being. Why? We have our name to protect. Yes, if you ask them, that's what they say. You know, Samsung will not get so drunk and say at this level that we have arrived, we don't have to test our latest series. Just let them go out. We already know what we put there. They wouldn't do that. They would test it. They would test the calling. What is it called now? Eh? Each one of those tools that they've installed, you understand? They would test each one of the applications. Each one of them. They'll use that to make call, use the other one to use the message to make message, to send messages, and so on. They will test the internet to ensure that it is working well. Each one. There are people that are employed in that department just to do that. They pay them. Now, if they make blunders and they mistakenly and say, we thought they are fired. You want to spoil our name? That's human beings. You think about God. God, who cannot lie, the Bible says, produce you. And because God is a God of integrity. You see, Samsung, we are a company of integrity. Not at the level of God. God is a God of integrity. He is righteous. Completely just. Every day. Anytime. Anywhere. And God will make this man and put all that he needs to put in him. And God looks at him and tested the man before releasing him to the market. Do you understand? God will test this man first. Now listen. When Samsung, that illustration I just used for you, when Samsung tested that A12 series, there's probably nothing like that. I'm just using that as an example. When they tested that A12 series, they wouldn't put their name, their label, do you understand? Their name will not be on it until they are sure that it now works well. When those guys in that department have tested each one of those phones, tested each one of them, even your washing machine, that's why sometimes they will tell you, they say, in case you may find water inside a brand new washing machine, add the water again inside. You understand what's going on here? Because they tested it. So, they would not put their name until they were sure that now it can go out. When they were sure, they put their name on it and said, alright, we are confident, send it out. And when it is going out, it goes, hey, listen. If you are not a fan of Fairly Use, okay? When you get a gadget, when you open that It always comes in the park, right? Okay. Now, when you open that gadget, most likely the first thing that you reach before you reach in the gadget itself is either a small book or a long book. You understand? Some can be scanty, some can be very full, but you meet something. Now, many times, you know, you don't care. You just, what is this one? You are going straight. That thing is called user manual. Now, as you see that thing, it says, read me completely before you operate this device. Say, who has that type? You don't understand what that guy is trying to do. I have the manual for every of my gadgets. I have them at home. Have I really read all of them? Okay, well. interesting. But I'm better than many people. Because I always love to take advantage of what belongs to me. So I sit down. I still take my time to read the manual. Oh, he can do this too. He can do that too. And I begin to practice it right there. Some don't touch it at all. Is it today we are using phone? I mean, I know how to operate it. You don't know what they are doing. They are telling you, listen, that we are sure of what we have made. We are so confident that this thing is a success. If. Tell somebody, say if.
If
what? If you will function according to the stipulated rules in the manual, in the user's manual, if you will function according to what is written there, if you will stay within what has been written in that manual, it says it will function for you as it ought. We are sure this thing we have made is a success. They are telling you that. And then, they go even to the extent of putting a warranty. 2 years. In fact, the LG washing machine will go as far as 10 years. Have you seen that? 10 years warranty on the LG. Of course, it costs a lot of money, but 10 years. Why? They say, we know exactly what we have made. We've tested it. We can put our life down on it. Now, watch this. Guess what? If that thing, you use it within the instruction they've given, and then that thing flops, and then you get to them, and you contact them and say, hello, something is going wrong with this thing. They say, what is wrong with it? Then you tell them, this and this and this. Did you use it according to? Yes, of course. Yes. Can you imagine? I was using it to make call, and every time I use it to make call, it begins to make some sound, and I discover it's the phone. Oh, sir, we are sorry, sir. Can you send it? Listen, they will pay for the shipment. You won't have to pay. They will pay for it. They will send you a brand new one free. You don't have to do nothing. As long as it's within the warranty year period. Some of you are looking like this because you don't know your rights. You've just been throwing the thing away. Why are they doing it? Our name. Our reputation. Don't touch that. We don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want it to be on the news that their products now fail. Do you understand? That's the same thing. Look at God. Who puts that kind of mind in a man? God! And God is so dependable. That's what the Bible says. God made you. And then, he puts his whole integrity behind you. Don't you understand? No, you understand in the moment. You understand in the moment. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this now. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, his handiwork. God declares that you are his handwork. And he didn't lie. He put his label on you. What is his label? I want to tell you. He did something that no manufacturer ever did. The kind of label he put on you, no manufacturer does that. What is the label? His own image. He made you in his own image. You see, God already finished with you in the realm of the spirits. Then he brought you into his image. That's the stamp on you. That's the label. Then God looks at you and says, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those things, those good works, which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking parts which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life. Can you see this? Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. The good life is mine. This is what he's talking about. So God made each one of us to live the good life. When I'm talking about the good life, I'm not just talking about the life of having money, prosperity. He's talking about the life of being in charge 24 hours of the day. I mean, what is good when you are full of sickness? Is that a good life? No, that cannot be. Is it a good life when you have failures all over? Disappointment upon disappointment. You set your mind on something as you're about to achieve it. That's not a good life. But it says what God has planned is the good life. You want to know how God thinks? You look at the first man in the garden. God finished first with everything before bringing the guy in. No struggle. God didn't say, oh guy, come on, stand up from the dust quickly. Come on. No. God finished everything. The Bible says God saw that it was good. He did everything good and brought his man in. And said, now you can come in and enjoy, all right? Come in and enjoy. Glory to God. And Adam came in. All that he would need to eat, everything was already in the garden. Everything. If you wanted to relax and have a good view, that was also there. For God, the Bible says that God made everything beautiful. He will sit down there and enjoy himself. If he wanted the animals to play with, they will come around him. In fact, he even gave them names. God didn't want to give any name to any animal that Adam himself will be forgetting or will scare him. God said, no, you do it. You do it. Everything. You are yours. You are the God of this world. Just do whatever you like. Give them names. And he went about naming them. And the Bible says everything he called them, that was it. If he says this is a lion, God says, okay. We have learned it now. It's a lion. Do you understand? Glory to God. If you know your place in Christ, your boldness will go up. Don't let anybody tell you, what is this? Is this Christianity that you will be jumping up and down? In Christianity, you have to learn to be calm. All this new generation Christianity. In our own days, when you are before God, you stand still. How can you be in church? You are jumping, you are shaking legs, shaking hands. You say, whoo! I say, what is this? Is this Christianity? Don't let nobody lie to you. The Bible says in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Glory to God! Woo! In his presence, that's the Bible. Please, what is fullness of joy? Hallelujah. That's not fullness of joy. No, that's not it. As in church, shit, brother, shit. Good morning, bro. In church, no. Listen, I told you at the beginning. I said the happiest people on earth are Christians, because when you receive this thing, it will give you confidence. You can stand your ground and say, I know where I am and I know where I'm going. I'm so sure. I'm marching on. Why? I want to tell you why. The reason is because you know you have the principles. And those principles do not fail. Do you understand? They don't fail. When you put them to work,
And the devil comes laughing at you and say, ha ha ha, woo! I thought you said they don't fail, now it's failing. Ah! Maintain your composure. Just relax. Ignore him and keep marching on. Why? You know the end from the beginning. You already know that the victory is sure. Somebody say hallelujah, glory to God. Woo! This is our confidence. Listen, I put principles to work. The principles of the kingdom. And I'm so sure they do not fail. I'm so sure. There are times that it will look like it's delaying. Just ignore. Ignore. And keep marching on. Knowing in your knower that the victory is yours. Be so sure. Don't you understand? Let me show you more.
Are you still here? Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Oh boy, we got a round off now. Verse 30.
Ooh, glory! And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. Now he's talking about us. And those whom he called, he also justified. That's another story. That's another story. Acquitted and made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. How can somebody put us into right? Do you understand? God himself put us into, we didn't put ourselves. Do you understand? We couldn't do it. He says, I know you cannot do it, but I'll do it for you. He put us into right standing with himself. The Bible says we are blameless in his sight. Faultless.
Oh, glory to God.
And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified. Now he's talking about the same set of people. He's the same set of people he's doing all this for. He called them. He foreordained them, he called them, he justified them. Then now the Bible says, these people that he justified, he also glorified. Look at what the Amplified says, raising them to a heavenly dignity, a heavenly condition or state of being. Listen to me. In heaven there is super abundance. He says he has called. In heaven there is no failure, success. In heaven, let me tell you about heaven a little bit. How do they live there? How do they live? In heaven they don't cry for, I'm hungry. No. They don't cry to know something. Ah, you people want to tempt me. Listen to this. The Bible says something. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. He's talking about Jesus. How is Jesus today? If Jesus wants to move from here to that door, how does he do it? You think Jesus will be walking? I'm coming. Leave the road. I'm coming. You think that's what he would do? The Bible shows us how he would do it. If Jesus wanted to move from here to that place, he would think about it. Just by thinking about it, he's there. Do you understand? You don't understand? Yeah. Maybe one day I'll show you about this. He showed it to us. The Bible says the disciples gathered after his resurrection. At this time, no more blood. Do you understand? His blood had been drained. So, at this time, it was after his resurrection, he came back, he was flesh and bone. That's what the Bible says, not a ghost. Because his disciples, when they saw him appear, all of a sudden he appeared. How can he appear? Ah, he's not a ghost. How can he appear here? But they didn't know that. They said, oh, he's a ghost. And so, Jesus said, hey, handle me. Ghosts don't have flesh and blood like this. What does that tell you? That Jesus is not a ghost. He has flesh. He has blood. No, flesh and bones. He has flesh, he has bones. He doesn't have blood anymore. So how does he live? How can a person, a man, live without blood? The Bible says the blood is the life of your body. So how can you live without blood? So how come Jesus lives today without blood in his body, in his vein? How? The Bible shows us how. He lives by the power of the Spirit. That means his movement, everything about him is controlled by the power of the Spirit. As you study the Bible shows us, the Bible says, being born again, it says, not of corruptible seeds. Have you ever read that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
No, when it talks about not of corruptible seed, he's talking about, what is it talking about? It's talking about sperms. It says being born again, not of sperms. The day you were born again, you were not born of sperms anymore. The normal human being was born of sperms. But it says you being born again. Being born again means your spirit was recreated. You were born of a human being before. But now you have been born of God. How did God give birth to you? Being born again. Not of corruptible seeds, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What is he talking about? Which word? As a Christian, according to the Bible, you are also supposed to live your life by the power of the Spirit, not by the blood that runs in your vein. Otherwise, as he is, so are we in this world. It's useless. How is he right now? He lives by the power of the Spirit. How are we right now? We are to live by the power of the Spirit. Which means that any disease and infection that attacks by blood should not have power over you. But how is it going to work? By knowing it. You know it and you put it to work. For in the kingdom that we are in, nothing works outside knowledge and consciousness. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry, maybe another day we'll talk about it. Stand to your feet and just thank God.